Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Straight Wives Talk Show. I'm Bonnie Kay. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriage between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss the issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, welcome to our show. Good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm great, Bonnie. Good evening to you. How are you today?
Well, I'm really excited about our show that's going on tonight because this is such an important show. I think of all of the shows that we've had since we've started, this one really has a special place in my heart. And it's because tonight we're going to be talking with the daughter of a gay man, and it's leading us into the new support system that we're starting for children of gay fathers, adult children and late teenage children. And I do want to give you our number in case you have any questions for our guest speaker tonight. And, excuse me, I strongly urge you, if you do have adult children or children in their late teens, to have them sit down and listen to this conversation or to send them to me if they're interested in being part of our new support mechanism. And the number to call tonight is area code 646-716. 4893. I'll repeat that one more time. Area code 646-716-4893. And Misty and I have been talking for a while about doing some support group type of activity for children of gays because through the years, excuse me, I've had numerous people ask me, is there any support available for the children? And there's really no viable support. And I think that children really suffer with a lot of issues. And if you hear our speaker tonight, Crystal, you're going to hear some changes that I've made in my own philosophy on that matter. So I think Crystal's ready to join us. Crystal, is that you?
Yes, it is, Bonnie.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're here with me and Misty.
Oh, you are very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Hi, Crystal. I'm glad you can join us.
Yes, even though you sound very young, you're really not, right?
No, I'm not. I'm 23 years old. I have a baby voice and baby face.
I know. When I met you, I thought you were 13 years old.
I know.
But someday that's going to come in handy, like when you get to be old like me.
Well, and, exactly. That's what I'm banking on.
Yeah, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Crystal. I know that many people are waiting to hear your story. And as I was mentioning earlier before you came on, that you've really helped to influence a lot of the way that I think. And, you know, just listening to your story just really made me do a lot of thinking. And I'm just going to give a little preface before you get started.
Sure.
That throughout the time that I've been counseling with women, you know, and I think it's almost close to 30 years now, when people would ask me, what about the children, when to tell the children, I always kind of, you know, vacillated on that question. I went back and forth. You know, I felt that there's a better time to do it than not do it. And I thought, well, if children find out when they're younger, then they can adapt to it better. But if they haven't found out by the time they're a teenager, hold off as long as you can because children who are teenagers go through enough problems of their own. And adding this to it, making them question their own sexuality. You know, so I felt pretty... I felt pretty strongly about that. If you didn't have to tell them in the teenage years, try to wait till they're adults and they don't have to deal with it. But now that I've spoken and met with you and heard from so many other young people, my stand on this is definitely changing. And I really do believe now that children need to know as soon as possible. And I'm not saying they have to know any of the gory details or the sexual activity of their fathers, but they have to understand that their fathers are gay and that's why the marriage is having the problems that it is. So I would like for you to tell people your story, Crystal, so that maybe after they hear it, they'll understand why I feel that way.
Okay, sure. Just a little background. I've grown up with my father cheating on my mother, and when I was very young, it was women, and he was constantly in and out of my life. But when I was about 12 years old, I just started to notice, you know, changes in him. We had gotten a computer, and he was just on it 24/7. I couldn't use it for my school projects because he was busy, and we had gotten a scanner. And how I found out was when you open up the program and scan your picture, if you don't close out the picture, the next person that opens up the program can view your last picture. And when I had gone to use it and opened it up, it was a picture of him, and he was naked, and I was mortified. I didn't want to know what this was. I mean, I knew it was my father. It was horrible, and I was sick, absolutely sick with anxiety, because I didn't really know what was going on. I closed it all out. I was 12 years old.
You were 12 years old at that time, is that correct?
Yes, it
was. Okay, so you were really young, and just seeing a picture of a naked man must have been upsetting to you, correct?
Of course. I had never seen one prior.
Mm-hmm.
So to have that and then have it be your father, you know, it was very upsetting and traumatizing to me, but I never said anything. And then my computer started acting up. Now I lived with this for about a year, and I never said anything. And now, you know, that I'm getting to be 13, my school projects are revving up, and my computer was acting really slow. And we actually had a mutual friend. My father had known him from the gas station he was working at, and he came to fix the computer. And it was because of all of the porn that was downloaded to it. And, I mean, it was gay porn, and I was there when he was fixing it, and I saw it. And it was just, you put one and one together, and I did not know what to do. I mean, I didn't know if my mom knew about this. I didn't know if it was some sort of mistake. You start making up all sorts of excuses, and I just never said a word. I was scared. I mean, I was frightened of what it might do to my mom and my dad, because here I am, you know, my father's finally back in my life, and he's been consistently back in my life, and I didn't want to lose him. So I definitely struggled with that a lot, and it negatively impacted me because, you know, I started having panic attacks, and the anxiety started, and I felt guilty because if I was to tell my mom, it would break them up, and I knew that, and I didn't want it to be my fault, and if I was to tell my mom, it would be completely abandoning my father, who I adored, and I didn't want to believe that this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now fast forwarding to when I was 15, he sat my mom and I down and just said, you know, I can't live with this anymore. I need you to know, you know, that I'm gay. And it was just the hysterics on his part, absolutely hysterical. And, I mean, at that point, I had just grown to just be almost cynical in a way. Like, that was my defense mechanism. I just looked at him, and I shook my head, and he just kind of, you know, just kind of laughed. And I was like, you don't have to tell me. I already know. And, of course, my poor mother, you know, turns to me like the exorcist. What do you mean you know? And I refused to talk about it. I felt I had held on to his secrets, even without him knowing. But I thought things were going to get better after that. I really did. And then what ended up happening was he took that as my daughter knows, she accepts me, and it almost like he befriended me, and I wasn't really his daughter anymore. I was someone that he could talk to. So again, I was holding on to secrets that I had no business holding on to. He would show me pictures of his boyfriend and talk about the relationship, and oh, don't tell mom, you know it's going to upset her, and you know, that, of course, my mom filed for divorce, but he was still staying in the house because he had nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I still wasn't telling my mom because I didn't want to upset her any further. But, I mean, it was torture. It was absolute torture.
It's a lot of pressure to put on a young person, wouldn't you say?
A tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, it's definitely affected my life then, and there are parts that I still struggle with today.
So at that point, did you ever tell your dad, I just don't want to hear about this?
Well,
I think it's
really
difficult for somebody to say, you know.
It's extremely difficult.
With you, and I'm
you know,
sure you
he's confiding.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He's confiding in me, and I felt a closeness to him that I had wanted so bad that I didn't want to ruin it, you know, and say anything to my mom to, you know, make her kick him out. But it just got to the point where I just, like, I don't care about anything. I you know, I wanted to die. I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, and I felt I had nothing to live for. It was
dark.
And I
don't think that's such an extreme feeling, because I hear this from other young people, too, who just
yeah.
feel so torn by having to be put into the middle of this.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, if I could go back and do it again, I would definitely have brought this up a lot sooner. You know, maybe not going straight to my mom, but going straight to the source and just being like, Dad, I found these pictures. I know it's yours. I don't know what to do. You need to do something with Mom. You need to talk to her, whatever. But I can't be in the middle of this. But then again, how is a 12-year-old supposed to express that? They
Absolutely.
Really don't know how.
And did
you
feel
know,
really
and,
isolated through this time? Like there was nobody
oh,
you could really talk to about it?
Of course. I didn't know what the rest of my family was going to think. I didn't know what my friends were going to think. I was very alone, and I didn't seek help because by seeking that help, it, you know, my mom would have been like, what's wrong? And, of course, I didn't want her asking those questions because I didn't want to upset her.
Right, because you were feeling very upset for her to start with going through this.
Of course. I mean, yeah, we've been struggling, you know, with the whole infidelity since I could even remember, you know. So I knew she had been through a lot, and I didn't want to put that added stress on her. But, I mean, what I didn't realize was I couldn't handle it. I was too young to handle keeping a secret like that, and I felt it really robbed me of my innocence and really made me have to grow up a lot quicker than I should have.
Let me ask you this question, Crystal. You know, you're growing up in an age that's pretty educated when it comes to gay.
Mm-hmm.
If your father at that age would have told you and sat down with you and said, Crystal, you know, I have to talk to you about something and try to really explain it that, you know, when I married your mother, I really loved her, and I hoped that, you know, these feelings I had would go away, but they didn't, and I'm gay. Do you think you could have accepted it better that way?
100%. It would have been difficult to hear. It would have been hard. But I would have taken that any day over the lies and the secrets. I, you know, it really negatively impacted me, and I would have accepted that. And I have never once had an issue with him being gay. I completely accept him. What I don't accept, you know, was the deceit and having me essentially keep his lies. That I can't accept, and I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But right. As far as him being gay, and I have no issues with it. All I want is the best for him in life at this point.
Now, did your mother have any clue at all when you sat down and had that conversation with both of you?
Oh, no. My mom had no idea that I knew. She had no
yeah,
idea what I
Yeah, but did she
I
have
witnessed.
Any idea that gay was an issue with your dad? Was she totally surprised?
Oh, yeah. No, my mom, you know, she knew he had cheated with other women, but she never saw this coming. He, you know, he was the ripped up jeans, flannel shirt, tattoos, bikes, you know, she would have never known.
So he didn't fit into the typical stereotype that we think of as gay.
Correct. He's
very
not.
Big, you know, problem because women always think, well, my husband's macho, he has a tattoo, he likes sports, he can't be gay, but we know that has nothing to do with being gay.
It has zero to do with it. Zero to do with that.
And has your father come to terms with it at this point of his life?
He has not, actually. he flip-flops. Some months he's gay, some months he's straight, some months he's bisexual. He actually remarried another woman and has cheated on her with men.
Mm-hmm.
So he has not accepted him. I accept who he is, but he cannot come to terms with it.
Does his new wife know about his cheating?
Oh, she does. She definitely does. But, you know, she does have some mental instabilities, and she is a very dependent person. And
mm-hmm.
he knew that when he got with her, and he took advantage of that and essentially took advantage of her in the situation. And he knew she would never leave, you know, despite what he's done. I mean, she actually called me one night to talk to my mother to ask how she dealt with the situation, which was a little uncomfortable.
once again, you're in the middle.
Of course, yeah. I've been put in the middle, you know, essentially since I've known.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel this has affected you as far as your own feelings and relationships?
It's very hard. I have a hard time trusting people. I want to, you know, with my full heart, but I feel I stick a toe in, but I don't jump in. You know, I have a toe in the pool, I'm testing, you know, the temperature, but I can't just jump in. I can't just have a good time. I can't just let myself be out there. I'm a very social person, but yet I isolate myself. And those are issues that, you know, I need to go to therapy for. I need to work out, and it's still things that I struggle with today. But I opened up to the friends that I trusted, and that was actually one of the best things that I could have done. I mean, to have somebody there that you actually trust and that knows your situation and that you can share things with is amazing, which is why I think it's amazing you do what you do. It gives people some sense they are not alone. They are not alone in this at all.
Well, I think that's the most important aspect of this whole myriad of confusion and, you know, craziness, is that women and children really do feel isolated and alone. I think that, you know, as mothers, that we really feel that when children don't sit and tell us how hurt they are, what they're going through, because we don't want to hurt our mothers, you know, or hurt, you know, mothers, that we just assume, well, the kids are adjusting, they're adapting. But I really believe that there are a lot of issues that children can't discuss with their mothers. Would you say that's probably so?
I agree, and my mother would agree with you. I have a poker face. I am very good at hiding what is wrong until I can't hide it anymore, and it just all comes pouring out, you know, and it's hard. My mom's always said, I can't read your mind. You have to let me know what's going on. But there have been times where she thought I was perfectly fine, but inside I just felt like I was dying. I just
mm-hmm.
felt hopeless, but I didn't want to say it because I just wanted to deal with it myself. She had enough on her plate. And so, yeah, I do think parents can go around, oh, you know, they're fine, it's okay, everything's all right. But meanwhile, they could, you know, the child could be struggling with other issues that they feel they can't talk about.
Do you feel that children may be hesitant to talk to their mothers because they see their mothers are already suffering so much?
Definitely. For sure, I do believe that, because that was, you know, what my situation essentially was about. I saw my mom in so much pain, and the last thing I wanted to do was add to it.
Right, and I think that, you know, in some ways, the children become the caretakers in these family situations because they feel responsible for the happiness of both of their parents, right?
Agreed, yes.
And I think it's such a big burden to put on a young person.
By
the way, if you'd like to call Crystal, you can call in with Crystal on our line, and if you have any questions for her, you can dial us directly at area code 646-716-4893, and she'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. But getting back to feeling that torn feeling that, you know, you have to protect your mom, you have to protect your dad, and they're going through enough right now. So you try to be the calming factor in the relationship.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to impose any more burdens, right?
Correct. I mean, I had to be one person with my mother and another person with my father. I just kind of felt like I was, you know, I needed to play a role. And I tried very hard to, I felt like I needed to keep things in line and in order. And it wasn't my responsibility. But when you see somebody that you love completely, their foundation has been crumbled to pieces, the last thing you want to do is just add any more on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you, going back to what you said, do you think I would have reacted or accepted this better if he just would have come out with it? You know, and I do agree, and I believe that it would help at any age to start rebuilding a relationship and accepting what's going on, because, you know, my mom said it, and I'm quoting her, you know, after the divorce, he is no longer your husband. You are detached. But as a child, he will always be your father, and you can't change that. So it's very important to start rebuilding another foundation and reworking what you essentially have to work with.
Well, after your father gave you the news when he sat down on that day when you were 15, and did you tell him at that point that you already knew?
Yeah, I just kind of laughed it off almost and shook my head. I was like, yeah, you don't have to tell me. I was just so cold about it because I just felt like I, you know, had known for so long. It was almost comical that, you know, with the hysterics that he was saying it now, it felt like it was an act to me because I already knew.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, he was doing these things and not telling my mom, and I had resented him for it. I had just built up more and more resentment for him, and that's taken a long time to subside, and just be adult about the situation and really sort through what I can and can't accept and what I can and can't forgive.
So at this stage of your relationship with your dad, are things improved at all? Let me go back to after you found out the news, and how much longer did he stay with your mom?
Oh, it really wasn't that long. It was just kind of a couple of months until he could, you know, move back in with his mother, with my grandparents. But what happened was he was coming back for visits regularly, and it was, his excuse was, oh, you know, I miss Allison, I want to see her, and of course, my mom, being the amazing woman that she is, she said, okay, I'm not taking your daughter away from you, you can come see her, it's fine. And what he would do is he would come to see me, but he'd be on the computer. Or he'd go out to see his friends, or he'd go out supposedly to the bar. And my mom was working. She was working hard. She had to keep things together. So 9 times out of 10, she wasn't around to witness it, you know. And then it's like, all right, well, I want to see my dad. And the only way to get to see him is if I don't tell my mom that he's just messing around and doing what he wants and just using the computer. And it made me sick to death again. So that's finally when I broke down and I really spoke to my mom about what I had witnessed and what I had withheld and his secrets, and I couldn't do it anymore. And I finally told her, just because I just didn't want to see his face again. He disgusted me at that point. You know, he had completely, I felt completely abandoned by him using the excuse to see me just to use a computer. Sickened me.
And did
that
you see
was
what
my
he
break.
Was doing on the computer?
What was that?
Were you able to tell what he was doing on the computer?
Well, I knew he was in chat rooms. You know, I could see, honestly, when he went on the computer, I just went in my room. You know, I just didn't even want to be around it.
Were you surprised when he married a woman again?
I was absolutely shocked. I mean, my jaw dropped. Like, I didn't even know he was dating a woman. I had no idea. And one day he said, I'm getting married. Would you like to meet my future wife?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, are you kidding me? Again, you're doing this to another woman? And he's like, well, I am not gay. I never was gay. I just was going through a phase in my life that I didn't know who I was. Okay, he's an adult. He can do whatever he feels necessary he needs to do with his life. But I tried to warn her, too, actually. I told her that, you know, he was no good and that, you know, this was a mistake and that they were getting married way too quickly and she should really reconsider. But, you know, she's a very dependent person, and she's, I hate to say, she's not really all there. And she went through with it anyway, you know, and now she lives with him and in very poor, poor living conditions, and it's just not a good scenario.
So, once again, you're put into a position now that he's dating a woman of having to think, well, do I owe her the truth? You know, do I have to keep this quiet?
Exactly.
I mean, you feel a lot the way many of the wives feel, you know, if their husbands start dating again. And
yes, should I?
Thing that you have a gay father and he's getting married?
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said, don't you think it was confusing that here your father's gay and yet he's getting married again?
I mean, it's extremely confusing. It's just, what are you doing? You know, what are you? If it's a matter of being accepted, I accept you. And I just thought that would be enough for him to know and enough for him to hear just to go on with his life and truly be true to himself. I can't believe he's destroyed another life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I still struggle with that.
So when have you discussed that with him? Why are you getting married again?
Oh, well, I just thought it was ridiculous. You know, from the start. I mean, even if he was straight, he had only known her maybe a couple months, 2 months, 3 months tops.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I thought you were gay. What's going on? And
what was his response to you?
He just refused. I was never gay. It was just a phase. But yet
mm-hmm.
he has cheated on her with men.
Now, has he told you that?
No, but she has. His
oh,
wife
right.
has.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I get to have that lovely phone call, and I get to talk her off the ledge, you know, because she's hysterical, and she doesn't know what to do.
I just feel so bad for you, Crystal, because you've really been through the mill, first having to live with your own secrets, then having to live with the secret from your mom, then having to live after you found out with his secrets about who he's dating and keeping that a secret, and now having to deal with, you know, his second wife and having to deal with the whole ordeal. I mean, it seems like a lot. Misty, what do you think?
Wow. Well, first of all, I have to say, Crystal, I'm so honored that you're here on the show with us tonight because, like many of the guests listening, I have a million questions, but I'm going to try to keep them very brief because you have so much insight to provide our listeners. Your honesty and courage to be here, I just highly, highly commend that. So thank you. Thank you for being here. You know, one question that really stands out to me, you know, I've worked with a lot of children in the past and in grief-related issues, and oftentimes children experience what we call magical thinking. And magical thinking, very briefly defined, is like, you know, when a child thinks about something and then it comes true, they think, oh, wow, maybe I caused that to happen. Like if parents get divorced, a child may be mad at their father because they didn't let them buy the toy they wanted, and they would say, I just wish he would go away. Then a month later, they're hearing, well, parents are getting divorced. So when things like that happen, you know, just from pure coincidence, oftentimes children think they're responsible. So with all that, my greatest question to you is, seeing that you knew and discovered some of his gay porn and the things on the scanner, did you take on a sense of responsibility for the breakup of the marriage?
I actually felt that I should have said something sooner. It was strange because I never took responsibility. I knew enough that this was my dad doing this, and I had actually blamed my mother in the beginning, and I didn't blame myself, but what I struggled with was, is there a way that I can change anything that I'm doing, anything at all, to make him stop, to make him stay? I thought that maybe by doing something differently, I could change the outcome. So that does parallel the magical thinking that you are referring to. I didn't blame myself fully. I just thought, is there anything else that I can do? I took on the full responsibility of trying to make the situation better.
Wow. My heart goes out to you, and I'm so sorry you had to experience that from such a young age.
It was definitely difficult, but I've learned a lot, and I've grown a lot, and it's definitely, you know, it's affected me in negative ways, but it's also affected me in positive ways. I can stand on my own two feet now. I can hold my head up high, and
I can
really learn what forgiveness is and what that entails.
Well, you're a beautiful young lady. Thank you for sharing all that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So after, you know, your father left, how was your relationship with him? Did you remain close with him, or was there like a distancing for a while?
It was never the same. I really didn't want to see him anymore. I really didn't want to have anything to do with him. And he would call, and he would call often, but I was very short with him. I didn't really give much information. And so there would be periods of months before we would even speak again, and it hasn't been till recently that it's kind of been regular. I would say maybe we'll speak once every 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we're civil with each other, and I know that he loves me tremendously, and I know that really I am the one thing that he has ever loved in his entire life, and I understand that. So I stay around, but I keep him at a safe distance, because when I get close to him, when I get involved, it evokes so much memories and emotions. It just goes to a place where I don't want to revisit, because he does suffer, you know, from mental illness, and I have helped him out financially in the past, and he'll just suck me in. And sometimes they just leave you no choice but to distance yourself. So, yes, we are civil, we do speak, but in terms of visiting, it's really kept to a bare minimum, and it's unfortunate.
So, Crystal, I don't want to discourage other men who may be listening to our show who are sitting on the fence of whether to tell their children or not by, you know, having you mention that after it, you know, the news came out that this alienated you and your dad. Because I think it wasn't the gay part that alienated
you. No. It was never, ever an issue of that he was gay. He has so many other skeletons in his closet that escalated the situation. You have to be honest with your children. You know, I hate to say it. Honesty, you know, is the best policy, and to just rebuild relationships from there. You know, my father has wronged me in many, many ways. You know, he's an alcoholic. He struggles from depression, anxiety, his mental illness. So that's truly the reason why our relationship is strained. It has nothing to do with him being gay.
Mm-hmm. And when gay men listen to this show, what advice would you have to give them?
I would say, you know, really just sit down and just speak from your heart. You know, like you said before, we don't need to know the gory details, but, you know, you are who you are. You know, you were born this way, and by staying in a marriage but yet having almost that double life or having another feeling, it's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for your child. It's not, obviously not healthy for your marriage. You know, it seems selfish almost, you know, why would I break apart this entire marriage and life that I built just to live the life I want to live? But really, in the end, the only one that's going to suffer, you know, are your children. They're your children forever. And it's important to be honest and, you know, build from ground zero. Even if you get knocked down below ground zero, you can always build that up if you put out a loving situation and you put out a loving support system to your children and work on it with them. And don't leave them in the dark. You've been there yourself and you've been there for too long.
Do you think that, you know, can you encourage children? You know, I know it's tough when you're 12, but when you're 14 or 15 and you find out this news and you know your mother doesn't know, what is your suggestion at that point?
To the 14 and 15-year-olds who have found out something but their mother doesn't know? I would definitely say you have to speak up. If you do not speak up, it's going to consume you. It is not your cross to bear. It is not your burden. You would have to either, you know, try to have a sit down, you know, with your father and just be honest. Say, listen, I found all of this. I don't know what to do. I'm very confused. You need to speak to mom. I can't be a part of this. You cannot put me in the middle of this. It was an accident. I wasn't looking for what I found. It was here. You know, and if you don't feel comfortable, obviously, speaking with your father, go to your mother and you know, something is up with dad. You don't even have to say, I don't know really what it is, but I really think you need to have a talk with him. Or, I found this, mom. I have no idea where it's from or what it is. I need help. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to, you know, escalate this situation or bring things to pieces, but they just can't hold on to it themselves. I can't stress how important it is to not be left in the dark, to not hold on to his deep, dark secrets. They're his. They're not yours. And
now,
you shouldn't have
point,
to be responsible.
Has he ever said to you that don't discuss this with anybody?
Oh, yeah. When he was showing me pictures of his boyfriend and talking about his relationship, he had asked me not to say anything because, you know, he was a 40-year-old and he was dating a college kid, you know. So he, on top of being gay, he didn't want people to know that he was dating another, basically, a kid. So, yes,
because I think that if we didn't have gay husbands, gay fathers, most of us have had gay friends and are very accepting of gay people.
Of course.
But does, you know, when you have a father who acts this way, does this make you feel a little jaded about gay people or change your opinions?
Absolutely not. No, nope. It has not made me jaded towards, you know, the gay community. I have gay friends, and I love them dearly. My mother, she has a gay friend who, you know, she adores, and they've been friends for years, and that hasn't affected her, and it hasn't affected me. You know, my situation is completely different from another situation.
Has this made you a little more cautious about when you get involved in relationships yourself, what to look for?
Oh, yeah, it has. I mean, you don't want it to have to be a factor, but it comes up. It, you know, makes you scrutinize a potential partner's actions and, you know, could you look at them and could he possibly do the same to me? You know, and it's something that you think about. And, you know, I have to trust in myself and I have to trust, you know, in my feelings. It's kind of all I have to go by. But, you know, obviously if I kind of had any inclination towards it, I would step up and I would confront. You know, I'm at that point where I'm not going to be silent anymore.
How about if somebody, you know, like you have friends now, do you discuss your father with them?
Yes.
Because I know this is like a really big issue for a lot of kids. When I say kids, you know, older teenagers, young adults, they're mortified at the thought that people will find out their fathers are gay.
Yeah, and I felt that way to start. And I just, you know, I kind of told my close friends one by one, and, you know, they were like, wow, I never would have thought that of your dad. And, you know, they didn't say, we can't be friends anymore. They were actually like, well, tell me more. You know, what is this about? How did you find out? And they were actually interested, you know, in my story as opposed to, well, I can't hang out with this girl anymore. And, you know, I had friends that knew my father that if, you know, he came around and they were there, it's like, hey, how you doing? Like, it you know, thankfully, it really didn't affect my friendships negatively. I did not lose any friends as a matter of this. And I've gotten to the point where I joke about my father. He's the butt of almost all of my jokes. And, you know, it's true, you know. And, you know, my friends like, hey, did you ever, you know, think that he was stealing your shoes or did he ever get into your makeup bag? I mean, we can joke about it now because, you know, we've been through the nitty gritty. I've been down and I'm up now. So it's almost therapeutic to kind of joke about it, to be honest.
I know this is a very sensitive question to ask you, but I feel the need to ask you this. When you were going through all of this in your teens, did it ever make you question your own sexuality?
Yes. I was terrified that I might be gay. And I had never had those feelings towards another woman. I had never acted on them. But it was like, well, if he's gay and I have his genes, does that make me gay? Or could I possibly be gay? And I definitely did struggle with that for a little while. And I've never shared that with anyone before. To be quite honest.
I think it's such a common feeling that people are afraid to talk about, but I certainly know, you know, from my own children that, you know, they certainly went through their own, you know, like I say, concerns with their own sexuality, and there is a higher percentage of children who are born gay to a gay parent, and that's because gay is, you know, genetically predisposed. It's not like something that is out of the blue. You do see gay... are there other members of your father's family that you know of that are gay?
I do not. I do not know if they are or aren't, but I know they are drug abusers and alcoholics.
And that could be one of the reasons, because there's a lot of alcoholism and drug abuse, you know, within, you know, the gay community of people who can't accept themselves because of the way society reacts to it.
Yeah.
But I know that it certainly is an important issue that I think a lot of children struggle with. If I have a gay, I know my children struggled with it. And
yeah,
there are some other young people also. They really do worry about it.
I did, and I definitely stressed out about it. But, you know, you just had to sit down, take a deep breath, and, you know, you are who you are. You got to be true to yourself. And you know what you like, you know what you want, you know what you dislike, and that's what growing up is all about, is finding out who you truly are and who you truly want to be or need to be. And if you're a teen that, you know, you are gay, and that's okay too. I'm excited that, you know, our society is starting to turn to the point where, you know, being gay is a lot more accepted than it used to be. And I think that's a good thing for, you know, maybe the future boys that become men can be gay and don't feel like they have to suppress it and then get married and then the cycle repeats itself. So
yeah.
I'm hoping, you know, we're moving in the
right
direction.
We're very big advocates here of gay rights, because until gay people can feel that they are equal and they can't feel discriminated against, you know, that they have to hide from who they are. And, you know, I think that we're all sympathetic, you know, Misty, myself. You know, we're all sympathetic to the plight that gay men have to go through. And we all know that it must be very heart-wrenching when you're growing up in a society, especially people your father's age, you know, even today people are, you know, your age. You know, there's a lot of places in this country that are not very accepting of gay.
Correct.
And, you know, there's still a lot of discrimination where people are made to feel that they're dirty or they're deviant. So, but it's still better than, of course, when your father was growing up. But I think that until it changes, you know, certainly nothing's going to keep happening, don't you?
Yeah, no, it the cycle will repeat itself. You know, like I said, and until there's equal rights and people don't feel like they have to hide. You know, these men will suppress it for as long as they can, get married, have children, and go behind their wives' backs and fulfill the life that they really should be having. And it's just going to negatively affect the entire family unit. You know, it will come out eventually. And kids are way more perceptive than you think they are. And you know, sometimes they'll know something's going on before the wife knows something's going on.
I think that happens in a lot of cases.
You know, even if it's not gay. Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important that this news has to come out. And so many men, you know, think that they can keep this secret and nobody will ever know, but children are really in tune today, wouldn't you say so?
Definitely. I mean, there are so many ways for them to find out, even if they don't want to find out, even if they weren't purposely searching for anything. It's just, it's an electronic age, and really the kids are a lot more savvy than the adults in certain situations, and, you know, they're going to find it, even if they're not looking for it.
I think that, you know, in my generation, which is certainly not yours, it's more of your mother's generation, that people, when, you know, the word gay didn't really come up that much back in the 1960s and early 70s, and we always thought of gay as those preconceived, you know, stereotypes that they show on television, someone who's flamboyant and someone who sashays and talks very effeminately. And I think that a lot of men who aren't that way, which is probably most of them who are gay,
yeah,
you know, when they would look at this and they would say, well, that's not me. You know, I'm not like that, because of the stereotypes that people would come up with. And the fact that they could perform sexually with a woman. I mean, obviously, you know, your parents had a child.
Yep.
You know, in your 20s, you're able to do this. And even in your 30s sometimes. But, you know, the point is that they're hoping against hope that if they do everything in the normal way, that, you know, they're not going to be gay. But
you,
I think it's only a matter of time until things explode. You know, you try your best, but it's not who you are. You can't keep, you know, living a lie, because I think men's bodies change in time. You know, they become more sexually in tune to who they are.
Yeah.
But I look at someone like your dad, and it's not that unusual where we have men who are really thrown on either side of the fence. You know, they come out, they're gay, and then they change their mind, well, I'm not really gay. You know, that they just have a really hard time adapting to the gay world. Did your father ever get involved in a real relationship with another man, or was it just the sex thing?
Well, the only real relationship I know of was the relationship he was in when he first came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember his name, but like I said, he was a college student, and, you know, my dad was in his 40s at the time, and he just talked so highly of him, and, you know, it was a real relationship, and he cried on my shoulder when they broke up. You know, he was absolutely torn apart, and after that relationship, I don't believe he's had a real relationship. I just believe it's been sexual encounters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll have a real relationship with a woman, but go behind her back.
Because a lot of times I think a lot of these men are stuck in between two worlds, because emotionally they really haven't adapted to the gay world.
Yeah, and he never did, I don't believe.
I think that's very true of a lot of men. You know, they kind of get stuck in between there, and they're not really able to let themselves go.
No.
So they'll just have, you know, gay sex, and then they'll still look for other women to marry. Because we see men remarrying women.
Yep, and that was exactly my father's case. He remarried another woman.
I know, and that's really scary, especially since you say he's still out there cheating on her.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
So has your mom come to terms with all of this?
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, of course she was very bitter, and she had every right to be bitter. You know, she was devastated, in shock, upset, full of anxiety, and then you kind of go to the anger. After the shock has worn off, you get angry. Why did they do this to me? How long has this been going on? And she definitely went through her angry phase, but at this point in time, she's come to peace with it. She is in a happy relationship right now, and I'm thrilled to death that she's happy, and
even when speaking to her that I would be, you know, on the show talking to you, she, you know, it wasn't like, make sure you say this about him or that. She was like, I'm so proud of you, you know, and I'm proud of her. We have been through a lot together, and I can look at her, and she is somebody to look up to. You know, she's not full of resentment. She's not full of hate. You know, if something was to happen to him and I needed to go see him, she would give me a ride. I mean, recently my grandfather, my father's father, passed away, and she attended the funeral with me. And, you know, she had to face him. She had to face his whole family, but she did that. And I love her for it. She's a great woman.
Yeah, does his family know any of this?
Oh, yes, they know, but I call them, you know, the family of denial. They live along denial river. They just refuse to believe that he is gay and, oh, it was just a phase. Just like he said, it was just a phase. So, you know,
does he come from a strong religious background type of family?
You know, actually he didn't, but he was abused, sexually abused when he was a child. And, you know, he had a hard upbringing. I mean, my grandmother was not the best mother in the world by far, you know, to her children. So he definitely went through a lot when he was younger, and which I'm sure definitely contributed to his issues today.
I'm sure they did, but it still doesn't make him gay.
No, that doesn't make him gay.
Right. I think a lot of people are under that misconception, well, if they were sexually abused as kids, they're going to turn out to be gay.
No, that's...
Many men who are sexually abused, and they certainly don't turn out to be gay.
No, not at all.
I think it just has to be, you know, the sexual orientation that you're born with. It's not like a choice.
No,
people
it's...
People are just born differently.
You know, we're born who we are.
Now,
like,
what is your
like
thought
on...
Exactly. What are your thoughts about secrets in a family?
You know, there are things that transpire between a husband and wife, you know, that obviously kids should not be privy to. They don't need to be. There are things that husbands and wife talk about, and it needs to be kept between them. But if it's something that's truly going to affect the entire family, I don't feel that it should be, you know, kept a secret. For example, if a husband and wife are getting divorced because the husband is gay, but they don't tell the children, you know, it's just a divorce because we just can't do it anymore. I mean, it leaves so many open doors and questions. And eventually they're going to find out, you know, dad has a partner, dad's with him. It's just, it's so much harder to deal with then. And then you feel lied to, almost, in a way, by your mom, because she didn't tell you the truth. I really think that things, you know, should kind of have an open-door policy for the things that are going to affect the entire family as a unit.
Now, do you think, you know, coming from a family that had this problem and having a lot of other problems, you know, because of your father's, you know, other issues, do you feel that it's better for parents to stay together in a bad marriage or to split the marriage up?
Split the marriage up 100%. And this is, you know, to no blame on my mother at all, but I really wish that, you know, maybe the third time he cheated on her when I was very young, that she just would have gotten a divorce. You know, it's not worth trying to keep a family together when you're absolutely miserable. It's not fair to anyone.
And I so agree with that. I feel that, you know, I came from a broken home, not with a gay father, but with a straight father who was very much like your father, except he was straight, you know, mentally imbalanced, cheating on my mother. You know, and it was just such a broken marriage. And, you know, I always felt these feelings of guilt that, you know, we're responsible, the children are putting too much pressure, parents are unhappy, so they're doing these things. But, you know, when my parents split up, I was 16, but I had younger sisters who were, you know, little at the time. And I think they grew up much more well-adjusted, even though they didn't have the same kind of financial comfort that I had.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the emotional ruin that I was having when two parents are living together, you know, who are destroying each other in a toxic relationship.
But I think that so many
people say this, though, and that's why I want you to emphasize it again, Crystal. When I hear women say, I'm not leaving my marriage because I don't want to, you know, I'm staying in the marriage for the sake of the children. Are they really doing the children any favors?
No, and I kind of laugh at that statement. If you want to do anything for the sake of your children, you'll leave. You'll get out. You'll get him out. It's not fair. I mean, when my father finally left, and I mean finally stopped the visiting, there was just such a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. I didn't have to deal with it. It was causing me more pain to see him than it was just to be without him. And, you know, when you're staying in it for the sake of the kids, you have no love towards that other person. You're constantly going to be fighting, constantly going to be arguing, and it just makes this, you know, thick, heavy feeling in the air. And like we were talking about before, children are so perceptive. I mean, they're going to see your body language. They're going to feel it. It's just going to be like, you know, there's that big pink elephant in the room. It's toxic. And, you know, like I said, if you're going to do something for the sake of the children, then financially it might be very difficult, but don't stay in a broken marriage. Don't make it a broken home.
I mean, I have women who tell us that, you know, listen, I'm a good actress. I can put on a good act in front of my children. But I don't really believe that's the case, because when you're not happy, children sense that, right?
Yes. You know, my mom... She could smile in my face all day long, but I know when she's upset. I know when something's wrong. You know, she could lie, you know, she could put on that act because, you know, parents are supposed to be strong and, you know, nothing's ever supposed to get to them. But, I mean, as your child and you have that connection, you know when something's wrong. You feel it, you know. It's just something isn't right. Maybe if they can't put their finger on it, they know something isn't right.
Mm-hmm. And with your mom, you know, like you said, after she found out he was cheating, why did she stay with him? Why did she continue to stay with him? Was it for the sake of the family?
She wanted me to have a father.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted me to have a dad around. And she knew that he loved me so much, and she didn't want me to be taken from him. And she just wanted a happy home. She loved him the best way that she could, you know, and by doing that, you know, yes, it enabled him to do the lifestyle that he wanted, because he had a roof over his head, he had internet access, he could go and come as he pleased, you know, it just kind of enabled him. But she was just trying to keep us together, and she was just, from the bottom of her heart, she was just trying to keep me happy, because when I was very, very little, I mean, when he would leave, I would just turn to her. I hate you. I want Daddy. Just bring Daddy back. And, you know, it tore her apart. So, yeah, she essentially did it for me. She tried to put things back in order for me. And if I feel guilty about anything, it's that.
Well, I don't think that's anything to feel guilty about. I think all children, it's a normal course of life. You want your parents to stay together. You want to have a family. And I think that's very normal that all of us do. Misty, can you talk a little bit about that?
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. I do think it's normal for all children to want their parents to stay together and remain together. However, as I think you've said tonight, Crystal, and please correct me if I'm wrong with stating this, it seems like as a child you may wish that, but with the clarity of an adult and seeing what this has caused you, even the fallout it's caused you in your own life in terms of relationships, you can see how different it may be or could have been. Whereas a child, you don't have that insight. And my greatest comment is, I wonder, I'm curious, what if at a young, tender age, you know, a parent says to a child, you know, Mommy and Daddy still love you as a child, but we don't, you know, we're not together anymore. We don't love each other as a husband and wife. I mean, you know, you can tell children in very age-appropriate ways. You don't have to get graphic. You know, you don't have to talk about sexual encounters to a five-year-old. That's not what I don't think any of us are asking. But I wonder, and Crystal, if you will, maybe you can answer this. Do you think at a young age, if your mom did decide to choose the divorce route, let's say maybe you were 5 or 6, 7 years old, and she tried to explain it to you the best she could, how do you think your life would be different today?
Oh, that's a tough question. I really don't think I would have had to deal with any of the anxiety that I went through, you know, having him around and knowing it would have, you know, it would have devastated me as a child at that, you know, at that young age, seeing my father mm-hmm. leave. But in the long run, I wouldn't have had to deal with the lies. I wouldn't have had to deal with keeping them for him. I wouldn't have had to deal with knowing about his boyfriend, about, you know, seeing things that I really shouldn't as a 12-year-old. And I feel that in terms of relationships and partnerships and trust, I definitely would have been a lot better off, for sure.
I think that's very interesting. You know, I thought you may answer like that because, you know, some of the children that have later become adults that have been, you know, from a broken home, you know, oftentimes they will say exactly what you've just said, you know. And it seems, and I don't want to make this generalization because every situation is unique, but sometimes the longer parents do to stay together in what Bonnie calls a mismarriage, when, you know, you get one's gay and one's straight, sometimes I think it does do more damage to children in terms of, you know, children are very resilient, let me make that straight, but in terms of issues to work through later on in life.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And also another thing, you know, having the training as a therapist, you know, we look at relationships a lot. My background's in marriage and family therapy, so that's a big deal, relationships. So, you know, another question I would have for you out there is, you know, do you see yourself repeating any patterns that you've learned from your parents about relationships?
I'm terrified of marriage. Mm-hmm. I can be with somebody and I can love somebody, but I can't ever see myself getting married. To be honest, I would rather live with somebody and have children with them, but I just can't get past the marriage part. And it's for the sheer fear of having to be stuck in a relationship that I can't get out of. It's kind of, my experience has made me always know where your exits are. Always know how to evacuate if you need to evacuate. And, yeah, it's definitely impacted my relationships.
Well, you know, I'm sorry that you have to go through that in relationships, but to put a positive twist on that, you may be better off going into a relationship realizing that everyone is not who they present themselves as sometimes. So hopefully my wish for you is you've became more of an authentic person and self and hopefully can pick that up in someone else. And hopefully you won't put up with any of the BS out there because there's lots of gay and straight men out there that do not make good relationships, you know. So I hope you're able to turn that in a positive way to filter through those relationships and see which ones are good for you. I really do.
That's for sure. I do. My current boyfriend has definitely looked at me and you're very intense. And you know what? Yes, I am. and it is a form, you know, of self-protection. You know, I just always feel like I need to be protected some way or another by myself.
Now, does your boyfriend know about your dad?
Oh, yeah. My boyfriend knows all about my situation. He's the kind of person that I felt that I can trust and that I can open up to. And, I mean, he's really an amazing person. And he's actually met my father, you know, and that was after knowing everything that's gone on. I needed to go there. It was my father's birthday, and, you know, I felt I should owe him a visit, and my boyfriend did come along, and just for support, you know, just for the fact of, so I wouldn't have to do this alone.
And he's accepting of your dad?
Yes, he is.
It's not an issue for him that he's gay?
No, it's not an issue. It's never
I do
been
want
an
to
issue.
Mention to you, as we were talking, I got a beautiful email from one of our favorite guests, Wendy, and Wendy's really a phenomenal woman who can articulate just about everything on paper with her list on how people feel. And she just wrote to me, I feel so validated by what Crystal just said, that the kids would feel lied to by the mom if they had divorced, but the parents did not tell them the real reason. I knew I was doing the right thing, but it feels so good to hear it from a child who has been there. Thanks so much for finding her and having her on the show. What a mature soul.
Wendy, thank you. Thank you so much. That, you know, and that means a lot to me in return.
Yeah, because
sure.
Wendy's so awesome. And, you know, like I said, she's one of our favorite guests on the show. And I think that what you're saying really validates a lot of feelings for women who had to make that choice to be honest with their children because they didn't want to have to keep living the lie. And
exactly.
I think that's one of the problems that we keep facing, Crystal, is that women don't want to hurt their children. You know, they think that by keeping the secret, they're not hurting people. But I think it hurts children more, you know, wondering why their parents broke up. You know, what
yes.
was my mother doing? Why should the woman have to take any responsibility for this?
She did not. Absolutely not. This was not her fault. She did not do anything to deserve this. She did not bring this on herself, and she should not take the responsibility for it. You know, definitely the father who is gay needs to really step up and take responsibility. And it's just without telling the children what's really going on, it leaves a lot of open doors for children to interpret however they might, just because they don't know the truth.
Right, and then I think at that point, a lot of kids do blame their moms because, you know, then they can say, well, if you would have tried harder,
exactly.
you know, you would have tried to work at it better, you know, you didn't have to break up our family, and, you know, these women are so afraid to tell their children the truth.
And they
you know,
should.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah, they're taking on that blame fully because they're, you know, they feel that they're protecting their child, but, I mean, it shouldn't be a matter of protecting, it's just, it's a matter of reality and what's really there, and she shouldn't, you know, a mother should not be blamed for this. Absolutely.
What about when mothers say, and, you know, because we have so many women who are listening to this show, and when they say, well, if my children find out, they're going to be devastated. I don't know if they can deal with this. I think it's going to hurt them too much, so I'm not going to tell them.
It's going to hurt them a heck of a whole lot more down the line, and I can assure you that. You said children are resilient, and you know what? Yes, it is going to hurt. It is not going to feel good. This is a horrible situation for a family to be in, but if you can't, you know, work on it together somehow, and if you can't be honest, you know, they're going to feel lied to. They're going to feel deceived, and that's one of the worst feelings ever, to be deceived by somebody that you 100% love and trust. So, yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be difficult. It is not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination, but you need to start somewhere.
What if the dad doesn't want the children to know, Crystal? You know, like a lot of these men say, if you tell the children, you know, like they kind of are threatening with it. You better not tell the children. I better not find out you're telling them. You know, and the wives feel kind of like really paralyzed into inaction, you know, to keep the secret even longer. And, you know, it's amazing because a lot of these guys, they can tell who they want and they can live this life, but they don't want their wives telling their children. What do you say?
Well, you know what? that trust has passed. It has flown out the window. I don't believe that they reserve any right whatsoever to dictate to the wife that they have lied to for years or months or even weeks, you know, who she can and cannot tell. It is his bed. He needs to make it. He needs to sleep in it. I do not think that's fair by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it's horrible.
I don't want to hurt my husband, you know, or for whatever reasons they're saying, but It's the same thing as, you know, sticking in a marriage. I think that a lot of times when they're using the children, well, I don't want my children to come from a broken family.
It's a vice. It is a vice in a way. It's almost an excuse.
That's what I say. You know, that.
That's the hard truth. But it is. It's an excuse.
It's not the children that are getting, you know, the benefit of this. You know, the women have to really step up to the plate. And I know it's really hard. I don't know how your mother survived financially. Was it a struggle for her after he left?
Extremely. I mean, she was terrified, you know, if we were going to still live where we were living, how we were going to make ends meet. I mean, he put her in $20,000 worth of debt, you know, because he declared bankruptcy, so it all went to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she was dealing with that and me, and, you know, it was a struggle. It was definitely hard times, you know, for a very long time and until we can get things back together and get back on our feet again.
But I say it's always better to live with less and have the emotional freedom and, you know, stability than to live in the finance trap. Like, I have women telling me, well, I'm not leaving because I'm not leaving my house. Well, who cares about the house?
I understand where that comment is coming from. I find it a little silly just because, you know, a house is a material item in a way. I know you need it to live in, but you can find someplace else to live. It may not be as great, but you will not have to deal with the nonsense that is going on and with the lies and the cheating and not knowing who they are, not knowing who you are, you know, having to lie to your children. I mean, is a house worth the devastation? I don't think so.
And that's what I say, you know, like women say, well, then my children are going to have to start school in a new school.
So
and
then they start school
disruptive.
Somewhere else. You know,
right.
you have
better,
to
right?
do what you have to do.
And I think that's so important for them to hear.
I wish there was a way, you know, that I could go back in time and, you know, I say this loosely, smack some sense into my mom and be like, hey, this is not going to work. This is going to kill us in the future. Get out now. You know, I wish I could, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I can't change the past. It is what it is. But definitely, I mean, if you're in this situation now and you have a chance to get out, do it. Just do it.
No matter what you have to struggle with financially, and I know that I tell women that, you know, you're better off living in a one-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Give up your house because, you know, a house is not a home.
No.
And when I think about when I was growing up, all the unhappy memories, you know, it didn't matter that we had a big house. We had a big house of unhappiness.
Exactly, and that's all it amounted, and that's all you know of your home and the memories that you have. And you know, it's not fair to start out like that. You know, you might start from ground zero, but you can always build yourself back up. You can always build the things that you once had back up.
So what's your advice to other young people like you who have really been struggling with this issue? I mean, is there any way to just keep suppressing it? Or eventually it's going to
eventually it's going to get to be too much. I definitely had a very big panic attack and I wasn't healthy. I was getting to a very, very dark place. You know, you have to get some help, you know, you have to reach out. You can't think that you're going to be able to fix this or you're going to be able to handle it or you can internalize everything because you can't. And the best thing that you can do is, you know, to maybe seek some help, get some counseling, become, you know, part of a support group like this. I mean, you can't keep it all to yourself because one day you're just going to explode. It's just all going to come out and it's, you know, it's going to be in a negative manner and not a positive one.
And I think that it's fair to say, I can't put words into your mouth, can I? But that you would be willing to give support to other people who are young adults who are going through the same problems that you were going through.
Mm-hmm.
That you would be happy to give them that support they need.
Sure.
I think you were generous in your offering doing that.
Yeah.
But to be part of our new, support group that we're starting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you certainly learned how to get past all of this.
And yeah, it was a struggle.
But I think that through support of other people, just like your mom, she had support to get through it, right?
Yeah, she needed it.
And I think that with young people, we're going to be starting our online support group in October. So if anyone's interested, Crystal will certainly hopefully join us whenever she's available to give that support to people also. So if anyone is interested or your children are interested, once again, don't underestimate what they're feeling because they may not be able to discuss it with you, their mothers or fathers, but there's certainly issues they're struggling with. And the best way to find closure and to move on with this is to find support from other people who can understand exactly what they're feeling. And so please write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, B-O-N-K-A-Y-E, @aol.com, if you would like to be part of this new movement. And we're hoping that we'll have the same kind of support for our children that we've had for our women through all these years. And Crystal, are there any final words you would like to say to our audience who are listening?
Just to, summarize, it's going to be okay. It doesn't feel like it ever will be, but eventually the dust settles and, you can build yourself back up. And that goes out to all of the mothers, to the fathers, to, the children or teens listening, that, there will be a brighter day. And as long as, there is honesty in situations, you can get through it. I got through it. Yes, there are issues that I do deal with on a daily basis, but it is nowhere near as difficult as it was. There's always that light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, Crystal, I don't know how to thank you enough for everything you've done for us tonight.
You're very welcome.
Thousands of people who will be listening to this, not only tonight, but in the weeks ahead, because they can always go to our archives.
Mm-hmm.
And it will always be there for them to listen to. In fact, I'll be sending you a copy of it tomorrow so you can hear how beautiful you sounded.
Oh, thank you.
You really do. You're such an articulate spokesperson. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Absolutely. And you've put things into words that I think it will help so many parents and so many adult children and so many young children that listen to our show. And thank you so much for your courage and honesty from the bottom of my heart. I truly appreciate your time and attention to this matter that's so important. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Get the newsletter. I haven't seen my September newsletter. Crystal has her letter in there discussing her situation. And if you haven't received it, just write to me at bonkaye@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. And once again, Crystal, I hope that once we get things moving in a few months, that you'll be kind enough to come back one more time.
Of course.
So we can update everybody and, reinforce what you said. But
mm-hmm.
You've certainly changed my thinking a lot, and it takes a lot to change my thinking. So you've really
I'm glad to offer that.
You've been really instrumental in helping me define some things that were kind of cloudy in my mind, and
mm-hmm.
I'll be moving forward with that in the next few weeks, and I really thank you so much for, being part of that.
You're
and I look
welcome.
Forward to seeing you again this year. It was, it's wonderful seeing you in person. And, hoping that you'll help along with getting the support mechanism started. So thank you for launching this tonight. And, you're just wonderful. I can't say enough words about you.
Oh, thank you so much. Everything you do is terrific.
Thank you, sweetie. And thanks so much for being our guest.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Take care.
All right, good night.
Night.
Send your mom my love.
Good night. I will, definitely.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Misty, wasn't that wonderful?
Wow, what an intriguing, young, beautiful, spirited woman that she is to have gone through everything she's gone through. It's amazing. And, Bonnie, the thing that stands out to my mind more than anything after her interview is complete
you know, you and I have worked with so many straight wives. Doesn't the child's story run very parallel to the straight wife's story? Doesn't it sound like she's taken on many of the same issues that the straight wife takes on and is scarred from?
But you know what? It's worse. Because the child...
I agree.
You know, the child's really, truly the victim in this whole situation, having to take on the responsibility of not hurting the mother, not hurting the father, feeling that if they say anything, if worse happens, it's going to be their fault. That's why, excuse me, I've got a little hoarse tonight, but that's why, to me, it's so important that these secrets can't be part of the family anymore. These secrets really hurt and they destroy.
They do, and they can't. The children cannot carry the burden of the pain, and that's where that it's worse on the child versus being a straight wife. And, you know, what a terrible legacy to give your parents. I mean, the parents can give their children. I mean, don't, you know, listen to what she has to say. Listen to what she's going through. You know, give your children a legacy of being your authentic self and you know, tell them the truth. I think, you know, the truth does hurt. The truth is, it's horribly hard sometimes. These are such terrible, terrible situations. But you're right. Children cannot be the burden of the pain in this type of situation. They did not create it. They didn't ask for it. And they certainly didn't want to discover some of the things that they have discovered to learn that their dad is gay. And, you know, Bonnie, you and I hear these stories all the time, how these adult children, as they tell us now as an adult, that they have discovered things when they've been in their young teens or even before of the gay pornography and things such as that to lead them to believe something isn't right with the marriage.
Right. It's so sad. I mean, in just so many ways. I really have to process this whole show tonight. And then we can talk a little more about it next week. But in the meantime, Misty, can you talk a little bit about your upcoming workshops? Because I'll probably need one after tonight.
Okay. Yeah, this is heartbreaking that tonight is. It's, you know, enlightening and heartbreaking at the same time. But on to the workshops. I'm doing a new workshop. I think it will be one of my best, and I always say that, but I really, truly like this one. This is called Rediscovering Yourself. It starts tomorrow night, so I'm still accepting. I think I have one more spot that just opened up. Someone canceled, so I have a spot open. If you're interested, please email me, and I'll briefly tell you what it's about. Basically, it's 4 weeks. Every Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you get to meet live via a phone conference with a group of straight women, and it's very healing. These phone calls are guided by me, and you will come away with tips, ideas, and activities. You should feel better as soon as you hang up the phone. And most importantly, you get to connect with other straight wives live over the telephone. You can do this anonymously, and I've gotten so much great feedback from it. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy being that bridge to bring women together over the phone to heal together, is what I call it, because healing is better in greater numbers. And, Bonnie, I think you and I get to witness that all the time through your chats, how that
mm-hmm.
it's just so great when these women get to come together because you know you're not alone. That is so healing. And then, you know, to pair on top of that some activities and exercises to go through to help you bring about that magnificent life that you all deserve. Because all of you straight wives out there deserve a wonderful life. We all do. Everyone does. So, please join us. I have a space left. You can email me at MistyLynnHall@AOL.com. And I will let Bonnie spell that for you since my southern accent may not quite ring through everyone's ear correctly. How about that, Bonnie?
Absolutely. My Philadelphia accent should really do the job. But it's
all right.
MistyLynnHall@AOL.com. And you can also always reach Misty through her beautiful website that I just love to look at when I'm feeling a little down or I need a little peace. I just go to mistyhall.com, MistyHall.com. And you can always reach Misty through her website because she has her email contact information there and you can read about her work and her coaching. And I really strong, you know, people always ask me, can I recommend a therapist? And they always get the same answer back from me, no matter where they're writing to me from, that there is only one therapist in this whole country that I recommend, and that's Misty Lynn Hall. And I don't do it because I love Misty as a person. I do it because I see the fabulous results that women have, you know, after they go to Misty and after they attend her workshops or they do one-on-one counseling with her, which you can do coaching with her wherever you are throughout the world. You know, she's only a phone call away. But it just saddens me that I see so many women going to therapists who have no clue about what we are suffering through or how to approach it or making women feel, well, maybe you're doing something wrong. You know, why is your husband gay to start with? Or asking the most ridiculous questions. We're encouraging you that in spite of the fact that they're gay, you can learn to live with it. You just have to make adjustments. No marriages are perfect. Giving out the worst advice and paying thousands of dollars for it when, you know, you can, for a fraction of the price that you're paying out now, you can become one of Misty's clients and learn how to rebuild your life, how to re-energize yourself, and how to, you know, move on in your life without being so stuck. So, you know, treat yourself to this workshop. You know, the cost of the workshop is less than most people pay for one counseling session. So, and this you can do right from home, and it's, you know, once again, the most uplifting kind of session you can ever go to. So, Misty, I hope that you will have a response to this workshop, because I know others who have gone through it have told me how life-changing it is for them.
Thank
and
you.
Also, talking about life-changing, we'll also mention our get-together in November in Florida that Misty and I are really excited about. We have a really wonderful group of women who will be joining us, and that's in Fort Lauderdale, and that's on November 6th and 7th for that weekend, and we'll be having all kinds of healing workshops, sharing, caring, crying, laughing, joking, healing, because that's the bottom line. We're going to be healing. And if you're still interested, there's certainly room for you to come. You can just write to me at bondk@aol.com. And there are still, we ask them to extend the group rate for the hotels. So if anybody would be interested in that and you get to me in the next few days, you can certainly get in on the group rate. But if not, come anyway. It's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And it will be a life-changing weekend. Misty and I promise you that. You know, the weekend we had last year in Florida, people are still talking about how life-changing it was for them and how the healing process started. And just, like I say, meeting wonderful women, like all the women that we meet wherever we go, who all have the same bond in common of trying to, you know, go through gay husband recovery the best way that we can, that at least there's always, you know, support in numbers and support through support, whether it's in our chat room. And also mentioning, Misty and I are really excited about our new Australian chat room, right?
Absolutely. It's so nice to be able to reach out across the world to help these women, because as you said, it's so hard to find. This is such a specialty area. It's hard to find help and support from people that do understand.
Right, and I know that in Australia, our new friends, our new sisters in pain there, you know, really felt so isolated and alone because there's very minimal support mechanisms there. So we're so happy to be joining them together. We meet once a week, 9 o'clock Melbourne time or Sydney time in the evening. So Misty and I get up at crack of dawn for that chat room, right, Misty?
We do, and you know, that's not my favorite time, so I really must love these women.
Right, and it is my favorite time. I love being up and chatting at 7 in the morning, but I make Misty come along with me, and I know she doesn't love it, but like she said, it's so important to be able to connect women together, and that's what we're about. We're about helping women, helping them move ahead in their lives so that you don't feel isolated and alone and so that you can heal and move on to a much better place in your life. So, Misty, our hour and a half. So, any final words you would like to say?
It was a wonderful show. Once again, my heart goes out to Crystal. Thank her so much for her honesty and courage to be here. And love and hugs to all.
Right. And just final words that if you have children who are adult children who are in their late teens and they need the support, write to me because we're going to be here for them, just like we've always been here for you, and try to make sense to them so that they don't have to deal with all of these issues throughout their lives. So it's been a wonderful show. Crystal, if you're still listening out there, we thank you so much and I will be processing all your information internally myself. It's just been a remarkable hour and a half, and thanks to you. So until next week, Misty and I will be talking to you. Oh, Misty, next week will be my birthday.
Oh, happy early birthday.
Yeah, we'll be talking on my birthday night.
Wonderful.
See, and this is where I most like to be. I had to turn down a bunch of invitations to go out. I said, no, our women come first, so I'll be spending my birthday with our friends across the world and with my very close friend, Misty Lynn Hall.
All right, everybody,
have a great week, and I'll be talking next Sunday on my birthday. We'll celebrate on here. All right, everybody, love to you all. Until next week.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.